This is collective bargaining between the United Faculty of Florida chapter at University of West Florida and the University of West Florida Board of Trustees. It's Tuesday, June 18th, 2019. I forget, do we introduce ourselves or not? We do? Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'm Mike Matamor.
Kim LaDuff.
James Bray.
Dean DeCarlo.
John Baker.
Chastity Hobbs.
Dan Lucas.
Jonathan, I know that you emailed something. Do you? I didn't get a chance to print any of that out. Do you have?
I buy print copies as well. Okay. Yeah, that was primarily in case I was.
I can give them to you.
There you go.
Thank you.
We've gone from no space at bargaining to like a giant. And I can walk through our proposed changes.
Okay, that'd be great.
We've made several changes following our conversations last time. Let me pull out some of these things. First thing, we've reintroduced the one-time non-recurring wage action in the same structure that we used previously following the allocation of the definition of our performance-based funding allocations. This shows our allocations of state investment and institutional investment. We received $10.4 million in the state investment and all of our institutional investment back. Now, one of the things over the last few years we've been cognizant of is that state investment is non-recurring funds, right? And so we have had a pattern of addressing quality performance and performance metrics in a one-time bonus, right? And so this is still a one-time non-recurring wage action. The cost of this, we calculated the cost. We have 349 or so in-unit faculty. About a third of them would cap out at the 4,000 amount. The total cost would be $1.14 million for that one-time bonus, as it's defined here. In the same structure. So, with ten million in the state investment, we believe that's an appropriate proportion for the investment of faculty.
Okay.
Any questions on those things? You don't hesitate to stop me.
I decided I'm going to take notes.
We've incorporated the language that was exterior to the contract into the contract about the one-time inversion increase. We've included in here the caveats that we already discussed, right? Excluding the SPE increases from determination of base salary. Language about if there's only one person to trigger the inversion increase, right, rather than the two to average. And we've removed that language about if you've tendered a resignation, right, that you aren't allowed. I've added one additional element to this, and the language about determination of base salary. It's also excluded if you've received an increase for being named Distinguished University Professor. We have five Distinguished University Professors on campus. They initially get a $7,500 stipend, and then that stipend converts to base salary at the end of that. I don't think that this would have... I went through each of the five that we have. I think we were supposed to name... They were reviewing some this spring. I don't know if those have been named yet. I don't think this would have any financial impact on the actual allocation of these funds. I don't think any of them are inverted, even if that Distinguished University Professor increase is removed, although it's of a piece with not penalizing people for their meritorious increases. So that's the only thing that I've added in that's different from what we discussed or the language from last time.
And that's distinguished...
This is in G, so it says... Determination of base salary. Tip awards will be included in the calculation, but administrative supplements and salary increases resulting from a faculty member being named a Distinguished University Professor or receiving a Tier 1 or Tier 2 rating on their sustained performance evaluation will not be included in the calculation, and then this represents a one-time wage adjustment, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
We've removed, we've struck the... we listened to what you all were saying last time about not wanting to have a COLA the extra year in advance and for budgetary concerns. So we've struck that proposed language for 2021 for the COLA. We can renegotiate those terms in full book next year. We've retained the 1% final promotion recapture to make those faculty members whole. I did the calculations on this as well. This is a recurring funds that would be just under $100,000 in recurring funds for that final 1% recurring funds. We have retained in here the language about providing the clinical faculty with the promotion standards, the promotion. But we've also included in the packet, if you flip through, you expressed last time, Mike, a concern that you might have faculty who want to go up for that immediately or a timeline. So we've included an MOU that says no faculty member may apply for promotion to the rank of associate clinical professor or clinical professor prior to the 2023-2024 academic year. All right, so we've included that timeline. The reason we think that this is essential to get into the contract now is so the university has time to prepare those promotion guidelines. Okay. And also because the university, one additional thing to think about is the university spent a lot of time and consideration in creating these clinical lines, right? And right now, they have no opportunities. Right? They're neither in the multi-year contract nor in the have promotion structures. And these are really important positions. All of our positions are important, but these are especially important in our strategic direction at the university. Moving in, there, most of them are in health fields. They are in programs that we're specifically trying to grow. So we think that even though this has no encumbrance financially on the university right now, it's important to get this in the contract to get those wheels moving.
Okay.
Let's see. And we have my understanding is that you all were going to respond or come back with some thoughts on the 2511, the type of payments for assigned duties. So right now we have that language as status quo. We can talk more about that when we get to that section.
Okay.
What's your guys' thoughts on it? For any questions?
Any questions?
No.
I'm good.
For the benefits article, you had mentioned last time, Mike, that we should go back and look at the state requirements for the six-hour limit, right?
Yeah.
So here's just some information on that. This is beautiful but impractical. Several elements. So what we've proposed here, after reviewing the Florida statutes and the Board of Governors regulations, it seems clear that 6-hour limit is for the specific use of the individual faculty member, right? So an individual faculty member can't take more than 6 hours of their own time, right? That does not limit the use by the faculty member's dependents or et cetera in a combination for a total of what we've proposed of increasing that to 9 hours rather than 6 hours. I've included language from the FIU contract that is current language in their CBA that has that exact bifurcation. That there says that you have they have 10 hours that they can use, not more than 6 by the faculty member. So we've included that, we've mirrored that same restriction of with employees enrolling in no more than 6 credit hours of the total 9 credit hours per term in our proposal to ensure that that's in compliance with the Florida statutes, Board of Governors. And lastly, we have the university said last time for the UFF release time that they would be willing to provide an additional year of the 2019-2020 year as we're negotiating that. So we've revised our MOU to reflect that, taking up the language that you guys said about just one additional year. And we have and the MOU that I already mentioned about the clinical professors. So that should be for everything on the table. Hopefully we can reach an agreement.
Do we know where we caucus?
Well, we can find out. I think we may be able to use the other conference room.
Okay. And we can move too if that's.
Okay.
doesn't.
Dan's had enough of this.
Yeah.
This is the worst proposal I've ever heard. I'm out of here.
What does his notes say? Oh.
He just drew pictures. on this.
No, I see something funny. Probably waiting for that. So, my daughter works for, in the entertainment field.
She's at ICM, right? We talked about
it. Well, she's not at ICM anymore. She's like in New York. She's at, with. Oh. She's coming with like Condé Nast.
Oh, yeah.
So, there's this publication called Paper, which is sort of like a photojournalistic design. And they are, she's talking to the fashion editor, the editor, and she said, they said, well, the Jonas Brothers have reunited. And we're going to have a cover story of the Jonas Brothers. And but the problem with that is the Jonas Brothers have been photographed 1 million times. Like every photo shoot in the history of the world has been, they've been on boats and trains and, you know, military uniforms. So what do we do? So my daughter says, I have this favorite photograph of my father when he was in law school at my apartment. I'm going to bring it to you. I want you to use that as the inspiration for the photo shoot. So she says, oh. She goes, but there's one thing that has to happen is, which is true, I had a very good friend in law school who had a pet ferret. People used to have pet ferrets. So she said, so the Jonas Brothers have to also be holding ferrets. And because the ferret nuisance me constantly, my friend would come over and he would go out to his truck and bring, come back with the ferret and put it down. To be running around my apartment, I was afraid of it. So she says it has to be ferrets. So they go to the photo shoot and they call back and they say, Lila, you need this idea of yours. Is there some other way we can do this without ferrets? Because there's no like ferret source. You know, there's no ferret wrangler, there's no ferret trainer. You know, we can't find ferrets, people with ferrets. And she goes, no, it has to be ferrets. And they go, okay, well, this is costing us a great deal of money. Because we're having to like, we're going to have to get a trainer to go out and buy ferrets and train them.
Right.
That's okay, do the ferrets. So anyway, the photographs came back. And the editor, the fashion editor, said, we just regret those ferrets because it costs so much money. The things came back. And so the Jonas Brothers manager called my daughter and said, could we license these photographs because we're going to use them during one of our musical numbers when we're going on tour?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And Lilo said, well, I'll license them for the purpose of this tour if you pay the ferret guy.
Yeah.
So, okay, we'll cover the ferrets. So then she went to the editor and said, you don't have to worry about covering the ferrets anymore because the ferret guy got paid by the Jones Brothers.
So you're representing the ferrets now? Is that what you're saying?
I'm kind of.
You have to see this picture.
I know.
All right, that's the picture of me.
That's the main one we want to see.
Oh, wow.
So this is the picture of me. It's got to be graded and all that, but. So I'm wearing like brown. I'm wearing like brown
t-shirt.
my hair is such that I couldn't afford a haircut, so it's kind of unkempt.
And a hat.
But I have these you know glasses, square oversized glasses with a little British. Thing of the day. So last Thursday, the cover came out.
Oh, that's great!
Come on.
And this is them holding the ferrets.
Oh my gosh! That's hilarious, Mike. That's hilarious. You've got to put all the pictures together and frame them for your office or something.
That's the cover.
That's the cover.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
That's hilarious.
Dick Jones is kind of making fun of me, I think, in a way. Where is he looking at face?
What you have to watch for is that when they do interviews, right? And see how they talk about that. When they talk about that photo, they might, you know, they might.
Yeah.
Is that funny? That is the best.
That's great.